This evening's scripture comes from Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods for which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwelt. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
If you didn't know, Mike finds himself in Denver, flew out this afternoon, and I trust has arrived. I've not heard for sure, but trust he has arrived there. He will be teaching at Bear Valley this week, and these are not vacation weeks for Mike. These are weeks of very, very hard work, long days, and of course you know that. You know the good work that he's doing. So please do keep him in your prayers this week, as he will be doing chapel nearly every morning and teaching every day. And Lord willing, we'll return on Saturday to be home for 4 days before going to PTP. So got a busy schedule in his world right now. So do continue to keep him in your prayers. Appreciate the good work that he does. In Joshua chapter 24, we find the very familiar words in verse number 15. You could walk into many homes, I suppose many of your homes even, and you can find the words that Joshua records for us in Joshua 24 and verse 15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Generations of folks have had those words on plaques and paintings and different displays within their homes, again, for generations gone by. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Tonight, I want to look at this context, and again, it's not an unfamiliar one, but I want to look at this context from three different perspectives. Why would Joshua say what he said? How did he reach the conclusion, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? So tonight I want to look at what Joshua knew that would lead him to say that. Then I want to look at what he actually said, and then I want to think about what is he saying to me. What did he know? What did he say? And what does he say to me? So that's the perspective tonight that I want to look at this context within. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. First of all, what did Joshua know? What did he know without any doubt that he could say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? And I would suggest to you that Joshua knew God, and he knew the history of God and his people. And so there was a foundation that Joshua had built himself upon that he could be able to reach the conclusion, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Young people, I've really been trying to talk to you more and more through this year. I'm trying to talk to you again tonight. But this is not just for old people tonight. This is not just for moms and dads. This isn't just for older people and single people. This is for all of us tonight, because the Bible tells us that Joshua has called together all of God's people. Look back in 24 in verse number 1. The Bible says that Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, he said to all the people, so he's got all the people gathered there, and notice what he tells them. Let's continue. Verse number 2. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants, and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt, according to what I did among them. Afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea.
And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you. But I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel. He sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore, he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan. You came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. But I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you. Also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves, which you did not plant. A few more words. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Brethren and friends, I'm reminding us tonight that what Joshua said was based in knowledge of God and who God is. This was not just a random conclusion that he reached. You know, you can choose who you're going to serve, but my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It wasn't just a random selection of, which one's better? I think I'll go with Jehovah. It was based in evidence of who God is and all that God has done. There's history here, and Joshua recalls, isn't it amazing? In just a few verses, he really recalls all of the history of Israel. Up to this point, he says, look, you know, Terah was over there on the other side, and he was serving other gods, and so I grabbed Abraham, and I brought him over here to serve me. And then you got Isaac, and Jacob, and Egypt, and the deliverance, and now we're going into the promised land. He recalled in just a few verses everything that God had done. It was all of God's promises that he kept. Will you go back with me to the end of chapter 23 and look at verse number 14, just before the context we just read. In Joshua chapter 23 and verse number 14, you might have at the beginning of chapter 23, this is Joshua's farewell address. He's getting ready to die. And the Bible tells us in verse number 14, Joshua says, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. I'm dying. I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass. Not one word of them has failed. Isn't that amazing? What a verse. You know, you can look at the evidence. This isn't blind faith. Young people, God never says, follow me blindly. He always says, look at the evidence. Look at what I've done for you. And that's exactly what Joshua is commanding these people. Look at what God has said, and look at what God has done. He has kept every single promise. Joshua, why are you and your house going to serve the Lord? I'll tell you why. Because of God. Because of his faithfulness, because I can trust him, because there is evidence for him being who he is and the promises that he has kept. He says, I know that nothing has failed that God has said he would do. Isn't it great that we can fast forward in time and we can see all the great promises that God has kept? You know, they haven't even entered the promised land, or they just entered the promised land, right? And so God is going to do so many more great things for them throughout their history. And here it is, right at the beginning of them entering the promised land. And Joshua can already see all the great things that God has done. How much more should we? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord because of God and his precious promises. All the promises that he has kept, all the promises that he made, he did fulfill. Number two, as for me and my house, why are we serving the Lord? Because we've seen his power on display. Not only has he been faithful and we can trust him because of the promises that he's made and the promises that he's kept, but young people, the power that God possesses. Joshua talks about it. Oh, those plagues. Remember those plagues in Egypt? One by one, he marked off all the major gods of the Egyptians, and he showed his power. He showed how much better and stronger. Those are nothing. Those are the figment of man's imagination. But this is what God can do. I think about all of the great things that Joshua witnessed in his life. I mean, you just think about what he was there to see. You know that Joshua was there in Egypt and he saw the plagues. He would have witnessed all of them with his own eyes. And then he was there when they got to the Red Sea. And he would have watched the waters part after the darkness had separated God's people from the Egyptians. He was there and he literally walked across on dry land. And he turned around and he saw the waters come crushing in on the Egyptian army and defeating the enemy. He was there. He saw it. And that's why in Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 10, he and Caleb were so upset. That's why they tore their clothes and they got so upset with those who were rebelling against God. God had made a promise. That's our land. Those people are our food. But they rebelled against him. And so Joshua wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And he watched all of those people die. He watched all their corpses fall. And he got up every morning and he ate God's manna. And he got up and he ate some of God's quail. And he knew that God was taking care of him. He was there when bitter waters were made sweet by dropping a log into the water. He watched God take care of him. He saw the power of God on display. Why would he say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? Because he knew God. He knew his power and he knew his promises. I want you to go in your Bibles back to the beginning of Joshua to chapter 4. You see that on the screen? I love to think about this because we're talking about me and my house. And in Joshua chapter 4, the setting is that the Israelites have just crossed over the Jordan River. And again, you remember that they crossed the Red Sea when they came out of Egypt, and then into the Promised Land they crossed the Jordan River. And God did the same thing with the Jordan River that he'd done with the Red Sea. He stopped the waters, and they began to just pile up in a heap, and they didn't flow, and they walked across on dry land. So the priests are bearing the Ark of the Covenant, and as soon as the priest bearing the Ark stepped into the water, it all started drying up, and the water backed up, and so all of the people walked across on dry land. When they get to the other side, God tells Joshua, "Now, you need one man from every tribe to go back to the dryness there of the Jordan River, and I want them all to pick up a large stone." Now, notice what he does here. In chapter 4, in verse number 19, the Bible says, "Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, 'When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What are these stones?" Then you shall let your children know, saying, "Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. That all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." Don't you love that? "Hey, Dad, what are all those stones over there? I mean, what's that big heap of stones over there?" "Son, let me tell you about that. Those stones came out of the Jordan River when it was dry, when God stopped the waters, and we all entered into the Promised Land. You know that land that God had promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, as we know it in Genesis chapter 15, and it's also in chapter 13, and you know that God had made this great promise to Abraham, and then you know the history of the Israelites. Son, let me tell you about the history of the Israelites. Let me tell you all the great things that God has done for us. When you look at those stones, son, let me tell you about God. You need to know that He is a big God, that He's a mighty God, and He loves us. Let me tell you about those stones. Let me tell you about those stones. Let me tell you about the God who told us to set up those stones. Joshua, why is it that you and your house are going to serve the Lord? I'll tell you. It's because we know God. We know how great He is. We know the power that He possesses. We know the promises that He has always kept. And you know something about God's power, young people. You know about creation. You look around the world, and you and I, we know better than they've ever known before the cosmos and how little we actually are and how big the universe really is and how great our God is. There's evidence for God. There's evidence for our needing to serve Him and to love Him. Joshua, why is it that you and your house are going to serve the Lord? It's because we know who He is. We're going to serve God because He's commanded us to. He's commanded us to serve Him. It's not where you start, but it's where you get to. You look at the evidence for who God is, and you look at the promises that He's made and the promises that He's kept, and you look at the power that God alone has, that He alone can do, the things that He alone can do. And He commands us to obey Him. We will serve Him because He tells us to. Specifically, He commands heads of home. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, to any of you who are sitting in the adult auditorium class this morning, these words are going to sound familiar, I hope. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, familiar words here given by Moses before the people enter into the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse number 4, the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." So Jesus was asked the question in Mark chapter 12. "Teacher, what's the greatest command? What's the greatest command?" And I mentioned this morning in Bible class that the Jews, the rabbis over the years, had taken the old law and they had come up with 613 different commandments. 613. And they had divided them into two groups. You have positive, you shall, and negative, you shall not. So you got 613 that they've come up with, and Jesus was asked the question, which one is the greatest? Which one is the most important? And what did Jesus say? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall teach these to your children." I'm only trying to drive home the point that Joshua said, "We will serve the Lord." It was all based in their knowledge of who God is. Why will I serve the Lord? And why will you serve the Lord? It better start with knowing who God is. That has to be the motivation behind everything that we do. An understanding of who God is, of the promises that He's made and the promises that He's kept, the power that He has always displayed, and the command He has given us to obey Him. Joshua, what did you know? "I know God." That's why I'm saying we will serve the Lord. That's what I know. All right, now let's just look at the phrase there in verse number 15. What did he actually say? And this is really important. Right, this is so easy to put on a placard. It's so easy to paint on a pretty sign. It's so nice to use as decoration in your home. But it really has to come home. It really has to mean something to us. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Number one, it's the right determination. We will. We will. There's determination in those words. What if Joshua had said, "You know what? You've got a choice to make. You've got a choice to make. You can serve the gods that our fathers served on the other side of the river. You can serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land we currently dwell. As for me and my house, we might serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're giving it serious thought. We're weighing the options. We're doing the pros and the cons. We're thinking about it. As for me and my house, well, we're going to see what the majority of us want to do. As for me and my house, we're going to just let the kids rule and decide. Like my neighbor once told me, why do you go to church where you do? Because that's where my two-year-old likes to go. Who's the spiritual leader in that house? Two-year-old. As for me and my house, when we have time, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, when it fits our schedule, we will serve the Lord. What did Joshua say? We will. I'm telling you, brethren, that you're staring at a guy who doesn't have it all figured out, who struggles as much as anybody in his home. But Joshua speaks with great determination. We will. You all choose what you're going to choose. You can choose to go back and serve the idols that we were serving, our father served on the other side of the river, Terah, and that those people. You can go back to that. You can choose to stay and serve the idols, the gods that are in the land where we currently find ourselves, in the Amorites. You can serve their gods. You can serve the gods of the world around you, of the nation around you. You can put whatever the society says first, you can put it first. You can choose. But as for me and my house, we will. We will. It's going to take determination. It's going to take determination. Young people, you're going to have to decide who you're going to serve. It's going to take determination. Because that old devil, he's not going anywhere. And he will continue to work on you. And he will continue to sway you in your priorities, as we talked about this morning. And he will do whatever he can to take you away from God. You've got to have determination. We will. I love it. We will. We will what? We will serve. The right action. We will serve. We will serve. So there's determination in service. We will serve the Lord. That word carries with it the idea of work, labor, or ministry. All right, that word is translated different ways, but we're going to work, we're going to labor, we are going to minister. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 in verse number 45, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Families in the church who love God will have a determination to serve. Again, we're not just talking about moms and dads and babies. We're talking everybody in the church, in the family of God. We all have a choice to make, and we have to take the right action, serving the right object. A determination to work, labor, and minister for the Lord. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. I think it's interesting that if you look at Joshua chapter 24, starting in verse number 14, and going down to verse number 24, that's 11 verses, that in those 11 verses, 16 times, you're going to find the word serve. What's the context all about? It's about serving. It's about choosing who you're going to serve. And so Joshua, he gives these options about who you can choose to serve, but he says, there's only one right one. We will serve Jehovah, Yahweh. We will serve God. I love the fact that he says the Lord here, using Yahweh, Jehovah, because that's the covenant name of God. That's the God who says, I want to have a relationship with you. And so we will serve the Lord. We will serve the one who desires a relationship with us. That's who we're going to serve. The devil gives us all of these options. But Joshua says there's only one that's right. As for me in my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. The right determination, the right action, serving the right object, all based in the evidence of who God is. That's why he said what he said. And so tonight as I close, what does Joshua say to me? What does he say to me? Adam, this is what my house is going to do. What will you choose? What will you choose? To choose correctly, and there is a choice that has to be made. I can't say it any better than Mike did just several weeks ago than to say, as families, we must be sitting at the feet of Jesus. That series helped me a lot. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. You talk about great promises that God has made. How about the promise of the Messiah? How about the promise of Jesus? How about the fact that you and I, what a time to live, that you and I can look back over all that God has done, and we can go back to the cross, and we can see, since the cross, the big picture of all that God has done. Why would we not serve Him? There's only one logical conclusion. We must serve the Lord. We do this if we sit at the feet of Jesus. I'm telling you that I'm imperfect. I'm telling you that I struggle. But I say to the boys, and I mean it, boys, nothing matters if we don't go to heaven. Nothing matters if we don't make it to heaven. That's the only thing that matters. Everything that God has done is to get us to heaven. That's all that God wants. That's all that He's done. That's motivated everything over the course of time, is to get you and me and our families to home. Home with Him. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Boys, we must be together forever. We must be together forever. I just can't imagine anything different. Nothing else matters. Sit often at the feet of Jesus. I cannot make up their minds for them. I want to so badly. But I can help. I can help. If we know what our house is going to do, it helps. Within your home, Joshua, what would you tell me? He'd say, know your role. Know your role. Serve the Lord. Know your role within your home. As for me in my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. He knew his role in his home. As a leader in his home, he says, this is what my house is going to do. We need to know our role within our home as husbands and fathers. No matter what, no matter where you find yourself, married or unmarried, old or young, no matter where you find yourself, you know your role. You know your role within society. You know your role within your home. You know the role that you can play within the church. Know your role. A man stood up with determination and he says, this is what my home is going to do. We're trying to raise our boys to be men. We're trying to raise our daughters to be godly women. God has always been concerned with the next generation. Isn't it something to think about what would happen after Joshua's death? We better be concerned with the next generation. Know your role as husbands, as wives. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Colossians 3 and verse number 20. Young people, trust that your parents have your best interest in mind. As imperfect as we are, I promise you, we have your best interest in mind. Please trust that that is true. That we want you to go to heaven. We want you to be saved. We want you to know the Lord. Please know that that is right. No matter where you find yourself, serve the Lord in whatever capacity you can. And finally, I would say, within the church, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As Christians, we need to find areas that we can serve within the church. You know, it's easy kind of to break down the work of the church into three areas, right? And you've heard these areas before. But you know that you can split them into edification, evangelism, and benevolence. And others may, add something different here, but let's just go with these three for a moment. The idea of edification is to build up, to encourage. The idea of evangelism, reaching out to those who are lost, showing them Jesus that they might be saved. The idea of benevolence, reaching out to those in need and trying to help them. What can I do as a family in each of these areas? Have you given thought to this? Specifically in the area of edification, what can I do to encourage God's people? When the boys were young, and we haven't talked about it specifically, but I hope they've kind of been trained to do so, but we used to tell them when they were young to find a widow and give her a hug. Hug a widow. Young people, these older people that are in the crowd today, they love it when you talk to them. They love it. They love it. They want to know what's going on in your lives. And you, did you see the article in the bulletin where I mentioned we have, 81 children, 18 and younger. 81. It's an incredible number. There are congregations that would cut off their right arm to get a number like that because they're dying off. And here we've got all these young people. Oh, young people, you've got so much energy and so much great smiles. And we love you so much. And you have such an opportunity to help a congregation to really smile and to grow. And we love you, and we hope that you can do that. But what are you as a family doing to encourage your brethren? You making visits, going into people's homes, elderly, widows, widowers, empty nesters, college age. Have them into your home. It's a hoot. Have them into your home. You're going to enjoy it. You can build up and you can encourage. It's a wonderful thing to do. Find ways to encourage as a family. Have Bible studies in your home. As the boys were growing up, we have Bible studies in the home. The boys' role lots of times was to help maybe pick up the house and make sure things were in order. And then if they had children of their own, then take the children upstairs and play so that the adults can study. There's a role for everybody in evangelism. There's a part to play in evangelism. Now as the boys are getting older, they can set up studies of their own, and that's fun. But in evangelism, again, we're not perfect, and we don't have it all figured out. But what are we doing as a family to serve the Lord in evangelism? They need to see that we love the lost, and they need to see that we love everybody in need. Go around your neighborhood. Help your neighbor. Take your children. Let them smile and watch people's faces as you try to help them and serve in different areas. That's what Joshua says to me. He says, you need to serve. You need to serve God because of who He is and what you find in Jesus. Now, as I close tonight, the last thing I want to do is go to the book of Judges. And I just want to remind you what happened. And I know that you know, but I want you to read it. In Judges chapter 2, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said before he died. But then you go to Judges chapter 2, and the Bible says in verse number 7, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. You see, they knew God, and they knew his power. In verse 8, now Joshua the son of Nun was the servant of the Lord. Don't you love that? The servant of the Lord died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnah-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaish. Verse 10 says, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua, the servant of the Lord, died. And then there arose a generation that did not know God. In chapter 2 and verse number 17, the Bible says of this generation, yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. I'm not here tonight to shame anyone, but I am here tonight to remind us that if we are not diligent in teaching our kids, our generation, our children, our houses to serve the Lord, then what are we doing to the next generation? It was a generation, and that was all it took. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They did. But then the next generation did not. I don't care to be the generation that drops the ball. I'm not interested in that. And so it takes the right determination, serving the right object with the right action. We've got to be determined. We will serve the Lord. We have elders we're searching for. We need them so badly. My prayer is we will have men to fill that role. But what about the next time elders are needed? Where are those men? And what about the next time? Where are those men? And the next time, where are those men? And you young men, it's you. It's you. You're going to be needed. But it's up to us to make sure you're prepared. It's generational. We've got to be determined. For all that God has done for us, how could we not serve Him? It's not a forced occasion. Simply motivated by what He's done for us, I just can't think of another thing to do. For all that He's done for me in the Lord, why would we not want to serve Him? I'm not perfect, never will be. We have to have determination. Tonight, as you examine your life, where do you find yourself with the Lord? Brother Richard Oldham, I ran into him not long ago in Toyota dealership getting our oil changed. And Brother Richard said, I like to walk up to people and ask them a question. He said, how are you in the Lord today? To start a conversation. How are you in the Lord today? And he said, some people will say, I'm not too good today. I'm doing not too good. He said, I've not been to church in a while. Well, would you like to study about that? Can we talk about that? And he said, it'll open a conversation. How are you in the Lord today? How are you in the Lord today? Where do you find yourself today with the Lord? Are you serving the Lord? Do you find yourself in the Lord? As a Christian tonight, you begin to think about your service. You begin to think about where you are and in your walk with the Lord. And tonight you say, you know what, I'm just not where I need to be. I've got some changes to make. Then won't you? I think this morning's sermon was another great challenge to us to use our time wisely. And I really appreciate the thought that went into that sermon. Where are you tonight with the Lord? If you need to repent or if you need the prayers of the congregation, your brothers and sisters in the Lord, we'd love to pray with you tonight. But if you find yourself tonight outside of the Lord, you're not in Christ, tonight there's only one way to get in. These are not my commands, these are the Lord's. God says you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you need to be willing to make that confession. You need to be ready tonight to repent of sin in your life, and you need to be immersed in the waters of baptism to have your sins washed away. Tonight, if you're not right with the Lord and you desire to be, then please don't leave here in that condition. Please come now while together we stand and while we sing.